Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
I'd like to talk about that great shepherd of the sheep. When the writer of the book of Hebrews wrote that section in the latter part of Hebrews 13, he talked about that great shepherd of the sheep. He talked about the blessings and the glory that is due to our Lord. And if there is anything that I should be talking about this morning in our sermon, it should be something to give Jesus, our Savior, the glory, the honor, and the praise and the adoration which He so rightly deserves. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Jesus appears to us in the Bible through a number of different figures, illustrations, and examples. And I can't think of one better than the fact that He is that great shepherd of the sheep. As you think about that, this was a common biblical figure. Not very common to most of us. I dare say many of us have had some relationship to animals, perhaps cattle, perhaps pigs or hogs, maybe perhaps even some other animals, but the tending of sheep is not really that common among us in our society. But in the Bible times, that was the main occupation of those who led about animals. And it is an occupation, if you will, that goes all the way back to Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Both honorable occupations. But we see it all the way in the life of Abel. But Jesus perfectly epitomizes the great shepherd. We will be looking at a number of different things, but as a way of introduction, I'd like for you to listen to John 10, verses 11 and following. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." Jesus epitomizes what it means to be the great shepherd. But when you think about that, and you compare that to us, we perfectly symbolize that of the sheep. That's the nature of man. Let me give you just a few passages of Scripture to make this point. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There's one characteristic of a sheep that is just like man. That is, we're prone to wander off. We're prone to stray. And such is the case of sheep as well. In Mark 6 and verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." You see, like sheep, we need guidance. We need direction. We need someone to help us along. And Jesus is that great shepherd of sheep. In 1 Peter 2:25, Peter writes, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So with that in mind, I'd like for us to talk about four characteristics of Jesus as the great shepherd. Number one, he leads. Number two, he feeds. Number three, he heeds. And number four, he impedes. And you say, well, I think I can make those at least rhyme to some degree in my mind. I will tell you that preachers, when we study, you'll spend a lot of time trying to put it in a way that people will be able to remember it and to be able to have some sort of structure to it. Let's take a few moments to talk about how Jesus leads. One of the greatest aspects of understanding is that one cannot lead unless he knows where he is going. Before I follow someone, I want to make sure that person knows where he intends to find his end place. Let me give you an illustration. There are people who come in quite frequently or visiting with us, and maybe we'll have little children about this tall, and they'll say, can you help me find the second grade class? The first thing that I do is walk to the board to try to find out the location of the second grade class. After I've located, I said, let me carry you. Or if I know there's a teacher that's there that's teaching that, I'll say, here, let this person lead you there. Do you want someone to lead you to a place who's never been there, who knows nothing about it, does not know where they're going? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. What makes Jesus the great shepherd is he knows where he's going. He knows where the end will be. He knows he wants to carry people to heaven. That's a great aspect of it. But see, sheep won't follow just anyone. They follow the shepherd. And you might say, well, how do they know who the real shepherd is? They learn his voice. Quite frequently, I will call someone and I will hear them pick up and say hello, and then I will immediately call their name. Do you know why? Because I recognize their voice. There are times when I call someone and I hear a strange voice and I think, have I dialed the number wrong? Have I called the wrong person? You see, we can recognize the voice. In John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You've got to visualize in your mind a shepherd leading sheep. Come along, follow sheep. Here's the way I'm going. And they hear the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd leads them. Jesus, as the great shepherd of the sheep, has a voice that ought to be recognizable to us. That we ought to be able to listen and be able to hear what he says so that we may know the pathway to follow him. Great shepherds lead in safe paths. There's been a series on some of the reality channels like the History Channel, the Learning Channel. I'm not sure which one it's on. But it's talking about dangerous roads. And while most of us have been sitting around the last few days, I've noticed this commercial come on and they're driving a truck along a stretch of road where hundreds of people have been killed this year. And if they just make one bobble or they have one accident, the truck falls off into a ravine and the people on it die. That's not where a good shepherd leads his sheep. A good shepherd does not lead them near the paths of things that can hurt them or harm them, because sheep do go astray. As I listen to Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Why do you want to go by still waters? You don't want a sheep who falls over and then drowns because of a swift rustling water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We are led by a great shepherd who leads us in paths that are safe. If one will but follow the great shepherd, he will be led to heaven. Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17 says, "They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, and will lead them to the fountain of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You see, He's leading us to the fountain where living waters will be found. So, Jesus as our great shepherd leads us. But second of all, He feeds us. One of the primary jobs of any shepherd is to provide a place for the sheep to feed and to be able to receive nourishment to live and grow. Sheep need it and expect it. At our home, about three times a day, we assemble around a table and eat. We have food and we learn to expect it. We learn that there is food there. There are Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When we assemble together here, we've learned to need it and to expect it. In Psalm 145, David writes, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them food in their due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." We look to God expectantly, knowing that He is our shepherd. He will take care of young and old alike. One of the great benefits of being a teacher or a preacher is the fact when you prepare a lesson, you get so much more than the students do, because there's so much that you study and learn that you say, "Oh, there is really a great point." One of the passages that was just so remarkable is found in Isaiah 40 and verse 11. And there Isaiah prophesies, "He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young." What a beautiful thought. Here the shepherd recognizes that there are some lambs, some baby sheep, that needs some tender care. And rather than trying to make them walk, He picks those lambs up and takes them in His arms and carries them. And He also gently leads those who have young with them. When you think about the feeding of a great shepherd, He understands the needs of the young. He understands the needs of those who are with young. He understands the needs of the older, and each is provided for properly. When you think about this, there's a passage of Scripture that always comes to my mind, found in Ezekiel 34, which contrasts that of a real great shepherd and that of shepherds who are only concerned for themselves. In Ezekiel 34, verse 2, first of all, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" You see, their leaders, their shepherds, were not interested in the sheep. We all know what it's like to vote for someone and send them to Washington to try to be a public servant, to try to send people there who will look and see our needs and provide for them. And so often they find themselves in Washington now and everybody's, hey, I've got it all made for me. Real shepherds provide for the sheep, not provide for themselves. That's the reason why, as you get to near the end of verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. That's what a real great shepherd does. Our Lord was just about ready to ascend back to heaven. He called Peter to him. And he wanted to commit to Peter some obligations. So he said to him, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So not only does Jesus lead us, he feeds us, but then he heeds to us. When Paul met with the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, by inspiration he said, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Take heed. There are 15 times in the New Testament where our Lord says, take heed. And when he does so, he is trying to tell people, this is some occasion where you should pay careful, close attention. We use it much like today when someone is filling out a form. We say, now be real careful. The Lord is saying, take heed, watch carefully. When you go to John 10, the first few verses, it talks about Jesus knowing his sheep by name. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus knows the name of every one of his sheep? That's sort of mind-boggling to me. Can you imagine going to Nashville, going up and meeting Governor Bredesen? And he walked up and said, hi, Stanley Graves, I've heard about you. And then you walk along and, hi, Tyler Boyd, good to meet you. You say, he calls me by name? He knows who I am? So that's not very likely that he would know every one of his constituents. But do you realize that Jesus knows each and every one of us by name? In John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I know them. Not only does he know them, he knows them by name. He knows when one is missing. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 10, take heed that you do not despise these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one who is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you that he rejoices over the sheep more over that sheep than over the 99 who did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father who is in heaven that anyone, that one of these little ones should perish. Every one is important. Jesus, as that great shepherd of the sheep, looks down and He knows each of us by name, who we are, and He doesn't want one of us to be lost. Going back to Ezekiel 34, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. You drop down to verse 11. For thus says the Lord, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Others may forget. God doesn't. Jesus, as that great shepherd, knows each and every one of us and seeks for us. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, yet not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you have more value than many sparrows. What a comforting thought that is. Number four, He impedes. And the word to impede means to obstruct, to hinder, to get in the way of. And Jesus does with those seeking to harm His sheep. I want you to visualize. Here's a vicious dog. And he's going to come up and he's going to attack a wolf, one of the sheep. Does Jesus just step back and let that happen? No. He gets in the way. He hinders. He stops. He understands the vulnerability of sheep much more than they do. Most of us are just like dumb sheep, and there's a wild animal there, and it doesn't affect us because we don't understand how dangerous it is. But He does. And He intercedes for us. One of the best passages I thought to illustrate the point I'm trying to make is found in 1 Samuel 17. You remember, in the Valley of Elah, you have the Philistine, Goliath, mocking and challenging the children of Israel. David has stepped up and he is willing to face this Philistine. And as he does, here's what he says. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its ear or beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." You see, the truth is, just like David was willing to stand up and defend the sheep under his care, even willing to stand up and defend the people of God, Jesus, as our great shepherd, defends us as well. In John 10, verses 11 through 15, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Whatever it takes." If it took his life, and it did, Jesus, as the great shepherd, was that wonderful one. Now, I'm sure some of you probably thought, is he going to preach that whole lesson without mentioning Psalms 23? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If Jesus is your great shepherd, you don't have anything to worry about. As long as you are one of His sheep and you follow Him, there's safety there, there's food there, there's direction there. But it may be that you are not yet a part of His flock. You can do that this morning by becoming a New Testament Christian. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, willing to repent of your sins, confessing your faith, then be baptized, the Lord will add you to His body, the church. But you also must continue to follow the shepherd wherever he may lead. The shepherd will lead us through some difficult paths, but we can always know that he's leading us in the right way.